I want to go to Carolyn, if you can talk about your case 5, age 50.
This patient presented with an abnormal screening mammogram, and then she was diagnosed with a stage 2, T2, N0, receptor positive, HER2 2+ IHC, but FISH amplified, with a ratio of 2.9, right breast cancer. In her past history, she had a history of hyperlipidemia. She also had a history of some shortness of breath that had predated her breast cancer diagnosis that had not been extensively evaluated. I saw her in consultation. She had a normal left ventricular ejection fraction by echocardiogram and otherwise a structurally normal heart. And she went on to receive 4 cycles of AC in preparation for the 9831 type regimen. And then she started the paclitaxel trastuzumab portion of the regimen. This would be compatible with arm C of N9831. But fairly early into the paclitaxel trastuzumab combination, she developed palpitations, persistent palpitations, sensation of rapid heartbeat, and then she had an episode that was associated with chest pain and acute worsening of some shortness of breath that she had been experiencing. She presented to an emergency room. She had an SVT, a supraventricular tachycardia. She had a heart rate of 180, and she was managed in the emergency room with IV adenosine and then admitted. She converted to normal sinus rhythm, and she was discharged. She had cardiology evaluation in the hospital and cardiac follow-up subsequently, and a follow-up echocardiogram showed persistently normal LVEF of 65%, with the other findings noted some concentric LVH, mild, and some mild mitral regurgitation that was not felt to be clinically significant.
Is she on any medication?
She was managed with metoprolol as a single agent. And actually, it was successful in managing her palpitations and controlling her heart rate. I didn't record the dose. So she went on to complete the paclitaxel and the trastuzumab, the weekly doses. Really, her treatment wasn't much interrupted. And then she continued the trastuzumab as monotherapy. And now the cardiologist is talking to her about whether she should undergo an ablation procedure versus whether she should continue her medical management.
So do we assume that this is not related to the therapy, JB? And what do you think is going on here?
I would assume this is not related to the therapy if I saw this individual patient. One of the things that I think would be helpful to know or to consider is that it's the same kind of thing about the idea of asymptomatic and symptomatic. Patients may have underlying supraventricular tachycardia. They only become symptomatic when their heart rate gets above some number, and it's different in everyone. So we can't say, for example, everybody who has a heart rate over 150. So when she was becoming short of breath prior to starting this, that could represent that she has an increase in her heart rate, she has less time to fill her ventricle, and she becomes symptomatic. She has some mild mitral regurgitation, which they found on a follow-up echo. Regurgitation can get worse when they're walking also. So it makes me wonder whether or not she had some underlying disease before she even got the therapy. That is why, in this particular individual, the metoprolol starting early on as a beta blocker is a good choice. The palpitations that she has may reflect these underlying SVTs that she has. What better drug than a beta blocker to use? The other thing you can use is a calcium channel blocker. Calcium channel blockers, though, don't prevent the progression into heart failure, as well as the data for beta blockers, in particular, metoprolol or carvedilol. So that actually was a very, very good choice for her. And the left ventricular hypertrophy, the Framingham study, still that old study we all talk about, the presence of left ventricular hypertrophy on an EKG is associated with a 2.5-fold risk of developing some sort of cardiovascular event, even if you control for smoking, for diabetes. So LVH by itself is still a problem. There's only 2 classes of drugs that have been shown to regress hypertrophy. One is calcium channel blocker. The other is a beta blocker. But the question becomes, does that translate into an improvement in survival? And that study is actually being done right now and is ongoing and will be released, I believe, in 2008, specifically looking at how giving beta blockers translates to an improvement in survival. So in this particular individual, I do not believe the drug regimens led to her SVT. When you look at the incidence of paclitaxel or trastuzumab causing SVTs as an etiology, I believe it's less than 1%. It's very, very small.
How big was the tumor in this woman?
2.5 centimeters. T2, N0.